Moore came from a reasonably substantial middle-class London family, and he received a pretty good education in the city of London. Moore himself is a figure who has been so much romanticized that it's very, very difficult to capture any sense of the real flesh and blood human being. So, he doesn't come from obscure background, but neither does he come from an elite background. He got a pretty good education in London. He then entered the household of Cardinal Morton at about the age of 13. Remember Ennius Silvio Piccolomini, who had entered the household of a cardinal before the Council of Basel as a way of sort of advancing his career. Here, way off in England, we see Thomas More doing the same sort of thing. Now, while he was there, he made two kinds of acquaintances. He met a number of important and influential people. That was part of the point of it all, of course. And on the other hand, he made the acquaintance of the classics. And he loved the classics. He loved classical literature really right through the rest of his life. Now, his father desired him to study law. The study of law was oftentimes a way of getting a kind of a minor governmental position, which would provide a comfortable living and enable someone to maintain himself. Well, Moore studied law, and he did so brilliantly. He was called to the bar in 1501. He even taught law for a very short time after that. In 1504, he entered Parliament. But his political career didn't really begin in earnest until King Henry VIII ascended to the throne in 1509. He very quickly recognized Moore's talents and also seems genuinely to have liked Moore himself, brought him into his government, and Moore held a succession of increasingly distinguished positions until in 1529 he was appointed Lord Chancellor of England. So here is a man who has an important public career. Here, in a certain sense, though in a monarchy, so we shouldn't overlook that, is some reflection of, some hint of that civic humanism that we talked about in Italy, a kind of a republic of virtue. If in this case it's not a republic, in any case, we have presumably virtuous people. Now, Moore was in touch, indeed friends with, most of the great intellectual figures of the day. Again, we've seen this again and again as characteristic of this period of time. He's great friends with Erasmus. When Erasmus visited England, he stayed with Moore. When Moore goes to the continent, he stays with Erasmus. Both had been, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, both had maintained, Erasmus and Moore, had maintained various connections with John Collett. In 1516, he published his most famous book. Whether or not Moore would actually have regarded, would himself have regarded this as his most important book is hard to say. But it is certainly the one that has had the greatest impact after his time. It's called Utopia. Now, again, this is a Greek play. It means no place. That's what Utopia means. So a Utopia is actually a no place. It's a place that doesn't exist. Now, it's a semi-satirical account, in parts also riotously funny, of an imaginary place run according to natural law and simple logic. Now, the book parodied a great many contemporary situations. For example, in the story, all of the gold and jewels and wonderful baubles and things like that are given to the children. Because the idea is that as they grow older, they'll just get tired of these things and they won't want them anymore when they're adults. Well, obviously, Moore is there talking about the acquisitiveness of normal adults. In this community in Utopia, instead of people being fixed in positions, and all positions then having certain prestige attached to them, and then winding up sort of rank ordering themselves in various ways, no, in Utopia it's the case that every so often people change jobs, and they just kind of switch them all around, so that everyone has the sense of serving the community as a whole. Where here again, Moore, we may suppose, is attacking careerism, is attacking rank, status, hierarchy, things which he regards as artificial. Well, the work goes on in this vein right through its entire course, and it's very clear that in part Moore is sketching a kind of an ideal imagined world, but in other respects he is sharply criticizing conditions of his own time, both conditions in the church and conditions in the wider society. So, a bit like John Collett, then. He is a distinguished social critic, as well as a distinguished scholar. Now, when King Henry VIII initially opposed Martin Luther, more prepared theological treatises that issued in the king's name. Henry VIII got called Defender of the Faith, but More actually wrote the works that defended the faith.